Again, this morning we have two readings from Scripture, and in the course of our study of what the Bible says about itself, we've been here to both of these places already. So this is a bit of a time for wrapping up and summarizing as we come to Article 7 of the Belgic Confession. And the focus of Article 7 is the sufficiency of Scripture. And there's a lot that we could unpack in that article, but we're going to consider it in summary fashion as basically we've come to the end of the summer and we need to move on together in terms of our fall pursuits and the education program for the youth as well in terms of catechization, etc. Psalm 19, we're going to pick it up at verse 7. In the Pew Bibles, I believe, page 628. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Encourage you to be able to find this passage back. We're going to turn as well in the New Testament to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in our Pew Bibles found on page 1368. We'll pick it up at verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. We'll stop there. So far from the holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant, sufficient Word of God. If you have your Forms and Prayers books with you, I invite you to turn also to Article 7 of the Belgic Confession. Page 157 in this book, and if you're looking for it in the hymnal, the Trinity Psalter hymnal, page 856, Article 7. Entitled The Sufficiency of Scripture. We believe that this Holy Scripture contains the will of God completely, and that everything one must believe to be saved is sufficiently taught in it. For since the entire manner of service or worship which God requires of us is described in it at great length, no one, even an apostle or an angel from heaven, as Paul says, ought to teach other than what the Holy Scriptures have already taught us. For since it is forbidden to add to or subtract from the Word of God, this plainly demonstrates that the teaching is perfect and complete in all respects. Therefore, we must not consider human writings, no matter how holy their authors may have been, equal to the divine writings, nor may we put custom, nor the majority, nor age, nor the passage of time or persons, nor councils, decrees, or official decisions, above the truth of God. For truth is above everything else. For all human beings are liars by nature, and more vain than vanity itself. Therefore, we reject with all our hearts everything that does not agree with this infallible rule, as we are taught to do by the apostles when they say, "Test the spirits to see if they are of God." And also, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we conclude our study of the Bible, what it says about itself this morning, I want us to begin by asking a personal question, asking us to dig into our own hearts and to reflect on what is our greatest treasure. What is most important to you? If you were to say to someone, "This is something that I cannot live without," what would it be? What is your greatest treasure? What is it that you value above everything else in life? What's it all about? Where's your heart? Now, I think in the terms of a big picture, I think we all know what the answer should be, and I trust what it is for us. My purpose in life, the greatest goal in my life, my desire above all things, is the glory of God. I want God to be glorified. Maybe some of you have taught your children or have been taught by words of the Children's Catechism, with question and answers that go like this. Who made you? God. What else did God make? Everything. Well, why did God make you and everything else? For His own glory. I recall with fondness when our children were little, our one little girl would say, "For His own glory." For His own glory. And how can you glorify God? By loving Him and keeping His commandments. So we come round to the point where God is glorified by our living according to His Word. And you hear something of that in the way David, the psalmist, speaks of the Word of God, don't you? He speaks in Psalm 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. And then he makes this confession. This is the heart of it this morning. Psalm 19, verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Perhaps you paid attention for a while this past summer to the Olympics and all that was involved with them. And you know that people in the Olympics are running for the gold, that they may put that piece of metal in their mouth and bite on it and say, I've gone for the gold. And we say with regard to the Bible, more to be desired is the Bible or are these scriptures than gold. And we say, if there is nothing more valuable than gold, it's the Bible. It's more to be desired than gold. And if there is nothing more delectable, more sweet to the taste than honey, we say about the Bible, it is sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Sweeter to the taste, more precious than all of that. Now, I ask us this morning to put ourselves to the test in terms of what is declared by David there in Psalm 19, verse 10, and to ask, can I say that? Do I say that? And does the way I live and live out of the Scriptures and with the Scriptures and for the glory of God, according to the Scriptures, does it declare that the Bible is more to be desired than gold? That's my treasure. It's sweeter also than honey from the honeycomb. We've come to the end of the summer, pretty much, and we have before us now the prospect of a new season. A new church season, a new season of instruction, perhaps a new series of sermons that were begun in Philippians. We're going to return to our consideration of what the Heidelberg Catechism teaches in summary of the Word of God. But the catechism classes, the Bible classes for the youth will resume again, at least by the end of September. We'll return to the study of the Word together in family Bible study, hoping to look together at the minor prophets, the last 12 books of the Old Testament. We want to be majoring in the minors, so to speak. We want to be seeing how we see from the minor prophets. Everything points to Jesus. These are opportunities that the Lord gives us as church together to grow in our acknowledgement that the Bible is more to be desired than gold. And sweeter also than honey from the honeycomb. Now, when I speak to you this morning about the fact that we're looking forward to expanded opportunities for study, how do you respond? What do you think? Do you think, oh, that's maybe a little much? Or do you think, sweet, sweet, sweeter also than honey from the honeycomb? I want to declare to you in terms of who we are as Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope is founded in Jesus. We live in the joy of the gospel. And what we do is centered upon what God has said to us in His Word. It's enough. It's more than enough. You can't add to it. You can't do something different. And so we want to be a church that is centered on the Word of God, focused in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and want to delight more and more in the Word of God. Now, even as I say these things, I acknowledge that for me to say with David that the Bible is more to be desired than gold and sweeter than honey from the honeycomb, I can say as a statement of fact, but it doesn't always ring true to my own engagement. I have to confess that. And we want that to be the case. We want that to be our confession. We know that to say that as a statement of fact is non-negotiable. But to say that as a personal testimony with regard to my own experience and my own life with the Word of God is something that requires ongoing work. And I will encourage you more than once this morning, to be able to use these words of this psalm as your prayer to God. If you struggle with being able to say that the word of God is sweeter to me than honey from the honeycomb, more to be desired than gold, just run to the last verse of this psalm. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. You hear the language of personal connection and fellowship and joy. My strength, my Redeemer, my Lord. But help me, Lord, help me in this. I want you to be glorified. And I want your word to be precious to me, even as I struggle sometimes. I acknowledge the problem is not the Bible. The problem is me. And thanks be to God. God, you help me with that through the word. So, more precious than gold, more to be desired than gold is this Bible that God has given to us. We're going to look at three things together this morning: our confession about the Bible, and Article 7 summarizes for us in a wonderful way what we believe about the Bible being enough. God can't say any more than he's already said. We've looked at some of these things already, and some of this will be a bit of reminder and strengthening for us. But we take up this confession, Article 7. This is what we confess about the Bible. So the first point here is our confession about the Bible. This is our confession about the sufficiency of Scripture. It's complete. It's perfect. Can't be added to. It governs us in the way of walking in the will of the Lord in every way. And it stands above and beyond anything and everything that any man, any council, any culture has ever said. That's our confession. But more than just being words that we have sort of dredged up out of the past, these words were actually written in 1561. More than there being dusty words sitting on a page, they must be our confession. This is what we must be saying about the Bible. And in terms of being desired more than gold, sweeter than honey from the honeycomb, let me challenge us by asking some questions of ourselves. Are you satisfied with the Bible? Do you believe the Bible is enough? When things get difficult, where do you run? Where do you turn? Do you look for an escape? Do you look for pleasure? Do you look for encouragement in people? None of these things are necessarily wrong in and of themselves, but are you satisfied with the Bible? Do you find yourself going to the Word of God and tasting and seeing that God is good in the Word that He gives us? We'll flip that question a little bit and ask it this way. Is the Bible satisfying you? And this is where it pinches a little bit. It pinches me. I acknowledge that my commitment to fellowship with God in the Word is one that I have to continually remind myself of after all these years. Continue to push myself in. Do you know how to be satisfied from the Word of God? Do you know how to pour your heart into the study of the Word of God? Do you know how to get from the Word of God the comfort that you need in the Lord Jesus Christ, the conviction that you need to have sometimes with regard to your own sin? Or again, do you think you need something more? The world around us will say we need something more than the Bible. Maybe it would be nice if God would give us further revelations and speak directly to us. No, you shouldn't expect that. You shouldn't look for that. You should believe that the Bible is sufficient, enough. What more can He say than to you He has said? Maybe you're challenged, as we all will be in this day and age, to think, you know, maybe what everybody is saying in the culture around us in terms of seeing the challenges of Scripture and what the Scripture says about marriage, what it says about life, what it says about the sanctity and the beauty of life. Maybe that's old-fashioned. We have to stand confident in the Word of God over against the pressure of the age with what God says. The Bible is devalued. It's not seen as more precious than gold. It's seen as less valuable than paper today. But for us, it must be more precious than gold. As we look through Article 7, we see that it begins with speaking of its completeness and perfection for determining the will of God. We believe that this Holy Scripture contains the will of God completely, and that everything one must believe to be saved is sufficiently taught therein. We've read from 2 Timothy 3 again, that you have known the Scriptures from your childhood, Timothy, and they are able to make you wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:15. Everything you need to believe is given in the Bible. It points you to Jesus. You need Jesus. And we thank God for that. We ought not to look in any other direction. Now, when this was written, it was written over against the error of the Roman Catholic Church that acknowledged the Bible as part of God's authority. But really, as the Roman Catholic Church spoke of the living authority in their midst, the Bible is just a small part. In addition to that was their tradition and the pronouncements of the Pope in his day. And we say, no, the Bible is the complete and the only authority. The Bible is enough. The Bible is sufficient. We make this confession. We make this confession together about the Bible, knowing that there are others who have come along throughout the ages who have said we need something more. And all of the cults that go alongside of the Scriptures, and sometimes they're said to have a Bible in their left hand. That is, some additional writings that have authority actually over the Scriptures. And we should not, we must not do that either. We must not be those who find ourselves looking for something in addition to Scripture, like being governed by a hunch, or this sense that, well, the Lord must have been speaking to me. Now, understand, we're not against the fact that the Lord governs and guides us and leads us in His providence and helps us to understand. But ultimately, He helps us through His Word. Now, you may be saying to yourself, boys and girls, you may be thinking to yourself, well, how do I know what I'm supposed to do with my life? How am I supposed to know whom I'm supposed to marry? How do I know where I'm supposed to go to college? What I'm supposed to do for a job? How do I know? Well, again, we believe that the Bible is enough. And it's not as though we should be asking the Lord to give us insights beyond what He has given us in Scripture in terms of direct revelation. Yes, we should go to God prayerfully with our Bibles open in the context of the community and ask, Lord, shall I do this? Lord, what shall I do? What shall I do to honor and serve you? And if you're not convinced that this is something that is honorable to God and in keeping with the Word of God, Romans 14, verse 23 says, whatever is not from faith is sin. But you know that if you learn to live out of the Scriptures and prayerfully seek God's help in the light of an open Bible in the context of Christian community, God will lead you and guide you. And we're not talking about a sort of mystical flip and point use of the Bible where someone says, you know, what shall I do, or whom shall I marry? And they flip their Bibles open. Oh, Jeremiah. I think I should marry Jeremiah. That's being a little bit silly. And nobody would take it to that extreme, I hope. But the idea of being taught by the Bible requires an engagement with Scripture. Not that the Lord is going to speak in ways beside the Bible, but he's going to govern you according to the Scriptures. Now, we had a sermon already on the fact that the Bible is complete. And Article 7 makes further reference to that in what it says. Third paragraph down. It's forbidden to add to or subtract from the Word of God. The reference there is Revelation 22 and also Deuteronomy 12. We've looked at this already. What more can he say than to you he has said? So we have said already that when the ink was dry on the word that has gone forth, it was the Word of God. And as we have at the end of the book of Revelation, don't add to or take from, we know that any other religion that adds to or contributes or has anything alongside of the Word of God must be rejected. This is complete in every sense, and we thank God for that. Now, going up a paragraph in the confession, for since the entire manner of service or worship which God requires of us is described in it at great length, no one, even an apostle or an angel from heaven, as Paul says, now he said something like that in Galatians 1 verse 8, that's the reference here. He says, even if I or an apostle or an angel from heaven brings to you something other than the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. So we're not to listen to people per se. We're to listen to what has been given to us in Scripture. So no one ought to teach other than what the Holy Scriptures have already taught us. We thank God for that. Everything we need has been given to us. The whole manner of service which God requires of us. Again, as I said, as our worship services are structured around the Word of God, God speaks to us and we seek to respond in the light of the Word of God. We seek to have our worship services be scriptural, bathed in Scripture, and coming forth from the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 25 speaks of the fact that you ought to have it that unbelievers come into your midst. And because of what we say in the light of Scripture, everyone prophesying in that sense. No, that's not saying everyone is giving their own word. In our context today, that means everyone is saying what the Bible says. The preacher is saying what the Bible says. We're responding with songs that speak to us from the Scriptures. And the response of people who come into our midst ought to be, therefore, surely God is in your midst. Everything God has given for a life of service and a life of worship has been given to us in Scripture. And we've seen already from Colossians 3, verse 16, we are to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly as we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We seek to have the songs that we bring come directly from Scripture or be a faithful response to Scripture. And we say, that's sweet, sweet, singing praises to God in light of the word that he has given to us. And so the confession, just to bring it to its conclusion, or when it's coming to conclusions, fourth paragraph, therefore we must not consider human writings, no matter how holy their authors may have been, equal to the divine writings. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because actually the Belgic Confession, written by a man named Guido de Bray, adopted by the churches, this is a human writing. And so this is acknowledging with regard to itself, don't look at me, look at Jesus, don't look at me, look to the Bible. Now it's helping us from the Bible to say what we believe from the Bible, but it's always, here it's making that very plain, showing this is not something that comes alongside of the Bible or stands on top of the Bible. This is something that is always needing to be subservient to the Bible. It's pointing us to the Bible. And so it goes on. It says, however holy their authors may have been, these things are not equal to the divine writings. It's not equal to the Bible. So we may not put custom or majority or age or the passage of time or persons, councils, decrees, or official decisions of the church above the truth of the Word of God. So nothing that people are saying, you know, everybody's saying this today, everybody's doing that today. No, that cannot stand over against the Bible. Not the weight of tradition, age, in terms of we've always done it that way. That cannot stand over against the Bible. Not the weight of the majority, what it says here, the majority, right? Everybody is saying that. No, that doesn't matter. What does the Bible say? It's not about how many people you can get on your side. It's about what God says in His Word. And it sort of summarizes that with over to page 158, for all human beings are liars by nature and more vain than vanity itself. Let's acknowledge that about ourselves. With a Wesley hymn, we would say, false and full of sin I am, thou art full of truth and grace. Or the language of Paul in Romans 3, verse 4, let God be true and every man a liar. The language of the confession here basically comes right out of Psalm 62, verse 9. Human beings are more vain than vanity itself. We're like a puff of breath, hot air, just saying stuff. So don't believe what I say. Believe what God says. So this is basically our confession in summary, but now I want to speak about our commitment. If this is our confession in terms of what we're saying about the Bible, then what are we going to do with it? And that's our second point, our commitment to the Bible. And the last paragraph of the confession sort of sends us in that direction. Therefore, we reject with all our hearts everything that does not agree with this infallible rule. We are taught to do so by the apostles when they say, test the spirits to see if they are of God. That's 1 John 4, verse 10. And also, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. 2 John, verse 10. And the apostle Paul, we have seen before, made the point. You know, it's not about what an apostle says. Even if I say to you something different than what the gospel is in Jesus Christ, don't listen to me. The Apostle Paul commended the Bereans who searched the scriptures every day to see if the things that Paul was saying were true. Because there's an internal consistency in the Bible. You check scripture with scripture. You interpret scripture by scripture. And if you go against what the Bible says, it's not true. The truth is above all, and the Bible is the truth. Your word is truth, Jesus says in John 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Now, when these verses ask us to test the spirits, 1 John 4:1, 4:1, and 2 John verse 10, if anyone comes to you, does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. How are you going to know? How do you test the spirits? How do you know this is not the teaching? Well, you need to know the Bible. You need to be steeped in Scripture, and therefore, again, the blessing and privilege that we take up further study again this coming fall season, and we do what we can to make sure that we do it, despite the situation we find ourselves in this world. We need the Word of God. It must be sweeter to us than honey from the honeycomb, and more precious, more desirable than gold itself. Now, we've read together from 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we've covered some of these things already, so I'll be very brief. Scripture, as we read about it in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, is breathed out by God, inspired, breathed out actually by the work of the Spirit. and is profitable for, as we've seen, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We need the Bible to teach us where to stand, the teaching of the Word of God. And we need the Bible, in the second place, to reprove us. I need to be reproved. I need to be challenged. I need to be convicted of my sin. It's the same thing David was saying in Psalm 19. He praises God for the delight, the delectable nature of Scripture, sweeter than honey from the honeycomb, and says, moreover, verse 11, your servant by them is warned. In keeping them, there's great reward. Verse 12, who can understand his errors? Lord, cleanse me from my secret faults. How's that going to happen? How am I going to know? From the Word of God, which is able to make us wise, which is able to show us our sin, which is able to bring us to Jesus and show us the way of salvation. Verse 13, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins and let them not have dominion over me. And then I shall be blameless. I shall be innocent of great transgression. When I'm able to confess my sin, I may live in the blessing of knowing God doesn't hold my sins against me. I have peace with God. I'm right with God because of what Jesus has done. But there's a willingness on our part, because this word is sweet to us, to say, Lord, teach me. Lord, convict me. Lord, reprove me. Lord, help me to understand my deep need for you. So for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, if I'm doing these things wrong, Lord, show me the way that I should go. Teach me your way. We want to say with the psalmist in another place, how shall a young man direct his way? Psalm 119, verse 9. By taking heed according to your word. Psalm 119, verse 11, your word, O Lord, I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so the word is sweet. So, so necessary, and it's so sufficient. It's enough to correct us in the way that we should go. And for training in righteousness. So this is on the ground training. This is life as we know it, living out the faith. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8 to the devil. Jesus in Matthew 4, verse 4, quoting Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We live by the word of God. And we are nourished by the delectable encouragement of the Word of God that is sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. That is our commitment, to continue to go to the Word of God, to be corrected, and to be equipped. And we need to learn to ask questions of the Bible. What am I being convicted of here? How am I being corrected here? How am I being pointed to Jesus here? What am I being promised here? How am I being equipped to live for the glory of God here? So we pour our hearts into the study of the Word of God, asking those particular questions. And again, if you struggle with that, and I do, let me urge you to go again to Psalm 19 and earnestly before the face of God make the last verse your prayer. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. That's our commitment. And finally, just want to speak a few words then of our confidence. This is our confession, not just somebody else's. Our confession. We're committed to it. Are you confident in it? Do you believe what we're saying about the Bible being enough, more than enough? Because when you do, we may also say in terms of being sweeter than honey from the honeycomb, it does taste like more. And we want to know the Lord better. We want to grow in grace and fellowship with Him. And as I've said a number of times, in terms of who we are as Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are Bible-based, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Christ-centered, God-glorifying, gospel-focused. But it's all about the Bible. And it all comes back to the Bible. And we may say to ourselves, is that all you got? And the answer is, that's all we need. That's all there is. The Bible is sufficient. It's more than enough. And so we would go on as we read a little bit further in 2 Timothy. Then preach the word. Preach it. Speak it. Teach it to your children when you sit down, when you rise up. Speak about it to your neighbor. Speak about the Lord Jesus Christ from the Word of God to your neighbor. Because the Word is living, active, and powerful. And it is sufficient. It's what you need. It's more to be desired than gold, and sweeter also than honey from the honeycomb. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your kindness and wisdom in giving us the Bible to teach us about Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we are warned by the Scriptures. We come to know our sins and our secret faults. We come to see our need that you should be our strength and our Redeemer. And we thank you that we find hope and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Thank you that we've learned these things from the Bible. And thank you that your Bible is also enough for us to go forth from here, equipped for every aspect of service in this life, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We pray that you will help us. As we acknowledge, Lord, when we speak of these things, we find ourselves convicted. We find ourselves acknowledging we fall short in terms of that expression of hunger and desire and delight. Help us in that. Lord, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.